Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
And you love us, and you called us according to your purpose. So, Father, I pray that as we meet, you'd be glorified in the singing, that you'd be glorified as we praise you, as we pray, as we preach. All of this would be to your glory. Father, we want to pray real specific that it would also lead to the salvation of human beings, that people will be saved, that somebody's going to hear your word, and they're thinking about you already, that they're thinking about what's going on in these times. They're scared. They're riding the fence. Father, we're calling out that you would save those folks. Father, I pray you'd break strongholds. Strongholds of addiction and fear and material possessions that have held people down. And Father, open them up that they might be saved. Father, you said the word goes out, and sometimes it's like a seed landing on a sidewalk. It don't get anywhere, and the birds come and eat that seed up. I pray that you would bind the birds from eating the seed of the word that hits that. I pray that there would be a lot of fertile soil out there that the word of God would hit on Facebook and in live life. Lord, we love you. Give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. The announcements are everything is postponed until further notice. But I will tell y'all this. The church is essential. I'm so glad to have Mr. Jimmy here with us and just everybody. But the church is essential. You know, this is not something to take it or leave it. This morning at the foundry, one of my friends who had lost his son in the last week and a half, he just got back from Florida at the end of because his son, that's where his son was and where the services were, and all those things. Man, he needed his church family this morning. And he was there as we sang praises to God. He was there in the preaching of the word. He was there to be acknowledged and welcomed and greeted by his church family. Y'all, we need the church. I think about our friend Doris. I don't think she's somewhere, and her family. They just lost their home. Their home was burnt up, and so you know what? They need their church family. I think about those. A friend of mine who struggles with addiction. He's in recovery. He put a post out on Facebook, and he said, "Dang, y'all, I need help. You know, you need somebody. Y'all, the church is essential. Doesn't have to be the big group. That ain't what it's about. It's about people connecting with God, people connecting with each other in the name of Jesus Christ for the betterment of everybody and the glory of God. So that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to continue to do. I forgot I had to go get my microphone. I don't have it on. Forgot that part of things. But can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Awesome. And so that's going to work. But look, y'all don't give up. We're going to keep on trucking. We want to do it as smart as possible. You know, nobody gets points in this world for being stupid. You know, that's not how it works. We want to be wise. Part of that wisdom is to say the essential things must go on. Essential things must go on. That's part of wisdom. It's not safe to put everybody away. It's not safe to keep everyone isolated. We know that in our right mind. Isolation is the place where the predator eats you. Isolation is where your monsters live. The real ones. Not the ones in the movies, but the real ones. Isolation ain't the best thing for everybody all the time. So we want to be wise. Church is essential, y'all. That's our announcement for today. Sing from your heart. One of the conditions, one of the convictions of our soul ought to be this. I am going to praise God with my voice, with my heart, with my mind, because God has given me life, He's made me born again, and He's worthy of my praise. You know, if anything comes out of this weird time of church, maybe it would be this. We ain't going to take that for granted. We are going to praise Him with our whole heart and sincere faith, allow the sacrifice of our lips to praise Him and to be thankful. Man, that would be good. And then we're going to hear the Word. And that's what we got. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank You for loving us. We pray for all our church family, those gathered and those scattered. Father, that You would be with us all, that You would be glorified. Lord, that over this next time there would be just a rising up of praise from grateful hearts. I pray, Lord, for those who are on the fence of whether or not to believe You, that this service or the services going on so many different places, maybe this would be the time for them to come to a sure conviction, a time where they commit their life to You, a time when they follow Your leading and they say yes to being saved by Jesus Christ. Father, maybe it would be their time. For the atheist, in their great faith that God doesn't exist, Lord, I pray You would shake their foundation. I pray that You would penetrate into their heart. Maybe this is their time to change their faith to that of believing in Jesus Christ. Believing something as opposed to believing nothing. Maybe it's that time. For our Jewish friends out there who have not yet accepted Christ as the Messiah, Lord, I pray that they would. That they would look at Jesus and how He fulfilled the prophecy and they would accept You. For our Muslim friends, brothers, and neighbors who have not yet come to accept that God has a Son, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, whom You sent in this world, Father, we pray that they would also come to faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. For the fearful, the least, the last, the lost, and the brokenhearted, we pray that they would be saved. Lord, we love You and we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name.
Start our time of worship this morning with some scripture. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. This is what it says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's sing together.
Thank you. time lately. Y'all been having a little bit of a tough time? No? Maybe? Yes? All right. People out there in Facebook land, I'm assuming that you are nodding vigorously. To feel isolated, the whole idea that we get to bring praise to God brings us all together no matter where we are. And I think about the verse from 2 Corinthians, verse 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin. That is, God made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, so that through him we might become the righteousness of God. Y'all, that is good news no matter what's going on anywhere. Amen? So the whole idea, we get to sing about this Jesus, this awaited Messiah who saves from sins, who heals our iniquity, who heals our diseases. Y'all, that's good news.
Thank you.
There is no better news to be had ever than that our God is mighty to save. I'm telling you, with everything that you can think of that is the worst that you can think it can be, there is nothing. If all of that got taken care of in this instant, there is no better news than our God saves. I think to a prayer that Jeremiah prayed. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. He preached his whole life, and ain't nobody got saved. Ain't nobody responded. It was nothing but negativity. But Jeremiah had joy in the Lord. And this is what he prayed in Jeremiah 17, verse 14. He said, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." Now, if you've been singing along with your phone or the TV or the face page or whatever, you are praising. That is a verb. I'm an English teacher. I'm telling you, that's what it is. But Jeremiah, there in chapter 17, he used praise as a noun. And he said, "God, you are my praise." So if you have ever been moved to sing about the Lord, that feeling, that emotion, that stone, rock of foundation, Jesus is our praise. Amen. And he is mighty to save. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Take me as you find me, all of my fears and failures. Lord, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He's my Savior. He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Usually this stick is just a prop. Today I'm propping on it, and I got Harris in me, and just an official syndrome. He passed it. Every patch is a bad knee on me. Thanks a lot, buddy. You know, viruses ain't the only thing going around. Bad knees are going around, too. So, y'all, we're going to be in the Gospel of John in chapter 17. So we're going to be in John 17. We're going to read the first 5 verses, and we're going to focus in on chapter 3. This was the thought I want to put in your mind. It's the thought that was in the songs. It was the thought that was in the prayer earlier, and it's this: find in Jesus that object of faith, who you can believe, who you can trust, and understand that He's telling us the truth about eternal life, the truth about God, the truth about being saved, and focus in on that. Man, I don't ever have to defend Jesus against anybody. I heard somebody say, Jesus is like a lion. You don't got to defend a lion. You just got to turn him loose. You know, Jesus is that way. Y'all, I ask you to give time this morning
to think about Jesus being the truth teller. Jesus being exceptional. You know what I realized in this time that we live in that's so divided along political lines, so divided along media lines and social medias and ideology, is that we don't know who to trust. You know, I heard people saying, we don't know that China's telling us the truth. We don't know if you know, we're hearing the truth from this source. What news source has a market on the truth that's unbiased and unpartisan? I'll wait. Which one is it? Just giving you the facts, the straight truth about all that's going on. We don't believe any of them. What about our politicians? We look at the letter behind their name. Are they an R or are they a D? And we decide whether we want to believe the truth or believe what they're saying. But I think deep down, we've lost the idea that anybody's telling us the truth. We think they're telling us the truth just based on their preference, based on their idea. Can I tell you, in this day and time, you need to find a truth teller. And I'm happy, well blessed, to declare Jesus Christ as the truth teller. And we get an insight into His prayer. He's praying in John chapter 17. He's going to be praying about eternal life, about a relationship with God, and about just who God is. Y'all, these are truths we need to know. This is what we need to know. And we need to understand Jesus is the truth teller. John 17, 1 through 5 says this. Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up His eyes to heaven, and He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You, as You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I've glorified You on earth. I've finished the work with which You have given Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory which I had with You before the world was. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity that we have to be here. Whether we're gathered, Lord, thank You for those here. Those who are scattered, thank You for those. Thank You for all the churches meeting. online, on Facebook. Thank you for the saturation of the gospel going out in a whole new way. Father, keep us on the front line of getting the gospel out. Father, may this be a new start to the church having a conviction that whether it's Facebook or YouTube or any other online, or if it's writing letters and sending them to people, or it's going door to door, I pray, Father, this would be a new surge of getting the word out. Whether we're just texting the message we heard today to our friends, Father, help us to have a conviction to get the word out anew. Lord, we love you. We trust you. We believe in you like we've sung. We believe you're mighty to save. We believe you're able to heal. We do pray a healing on our whole world. I thank you that others belong to this place or this one small, you know, place in Mississippi. You put us in a world with everybody. I thank you for this small place in Mississippi where I live. But we pray for the world. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, just in that prayer, thinking about the whole world, there's a passage that I'm not preaching on today, but I just want to highlight it for a second. It says that Jesus is the sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins. This is in 1 John chapter 2. Then it says very quickly, but not ours only, but for the world. Those in China, those on the continent of Africa and Europe, now, if you look at a COVID-19 map of Europe, you can't even distinguish the countries. It's just a red spot where Europe used to be. Man, we're a part of that world. And God is the only God. He's the only true God. That's one of the things we get in this prayer. Let's look at this prayer. By the way, having a relationship with God, we're looking at the model. I mean, literally, the best example is Jesus Christ. You want to know what is it like to have a relationship with God? Talk to Him. Well, I mean, what's it like to have a relationship with your friend, with your neighbor, with your, you know, your spouse, your kids? You talk with them. Share ideas with them. You know, God is somebody you can share everything with. And yet, we keep God out of so much of our stuff, I think because we're embarrassed. Because we don't live right. We don't think right. And so we avoid God. But He's the only one who knows how unright you are. And He still loves you. Oh, we ought to be praying more. In the midst of our sickness, pray. In the midst of your loneliness, pray. When you're really high and zealous and fired up, pray. When you're in the middle of your sin, right where you're not supposed to be. Whether it's in thought or action, you know what you should do? Pray. When conviction hits you after your sin and you feel low, like snake dirt on the bottom of a barrel low, you know what you ought to do? Pray. You know, God's the one who knows. When your heart's broken, pray. When you're full, pray. When you're hungry, pray. Jesus is praying to His Father. And He's going to give us some things in verse 3 that are beautiful. Okay? We're going to take it one clause at a time. I'm saying clause, and I have an English guy. Am I saying that right? Every time there's a comma, is that a clause? Thanks. That means I'm totally wrong, but He's not going to hit me. Thank you for your indulgent spirit. We're taken up to the first comma, and this is eternal life. And this is eternal life. You know what? Jesus, the truth teller, He's telling us that there is eternal life. A lot of people still want to debate that. A lot of people want to put that out of their mind. They're worried about how they're going to die, when they're going to die. But as if they don't need to care about what happens when they die. What happens after you die? There is an eternal life. There is an accountability with God. There is... I just got that Prince song in my mind. There's something else. The afterward. A place of never everlastingness, or whatever he says in that, you know, before he sings that song, Let's Go Crazy. Everett, you know what it is. Thank you, Everett. There is an afterlife. Jesus, the truth teller, is affirming that. You know, I'm so strong in believing that Jesus is a truth teller. That don't make me brave or smart. I'm just telling you, I believe so much in Christ, if there wasn't an afterlife, I believe he would have told us. Matter of fact, if we go to just a few chapters over, listen to what Jesus says. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now I go and prepare a place for you. If there was not an afterlife, guess who would have told us? The one who's really qualified to know, the truth teller, the exceptional one, Jesus. He would have told us there's no afterlife. So do what you got to do now. Eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow you die and you're pushing up daisies and your food for worms. But that's not what he told us. He said, eternal life is. Let me tell you what eternal life is. Let me define it for you. Well, the very first thing is just acknowledging that there is. Maybe you've been living as if this life is all there is. Sometimes that leads you to be exceedingly joyful, like free of any responsibility, any morality. Right now, I bet you're a little bit scared of losing the only thing that you have. This life, these things, my freedom, my stuff, my toys. But can I tell you, there's something else. And Jesus told us, it's called eternal life. He's going to tell us about it. This next phrase or clause, going to the next comma, says this. This is eternal life, that they may know you. Eternal life consists in a relationship with God. You know what I love about this? Sometimes churches like Christ Community or The Foundry or Jesus Saves Bro, we get some criticism. They say, y'all talk about relationship with God, relationship with God. But you don't, you know, the religious crowd don't like that. But you don't tell them that they got to do this and they got to do that. You know, Jesus is praying to his Father. He didn't say they got to do this and that either. He said, eternal life is to know you. That's a relationship, not a religion. You know, you can fake religion all day long. There's some folks, like they're over here. There are folks right here. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus talked about some men who were religious, maybe some women, so a group of religious people. And on the day of judgment, they're standing before God. And they said, Lord, Lord. I think they said, Lord, Lord. That was from the South. That's from Lordy, Lordy. Haven't we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and worked wonders in your name? They had a spiritual resume at the gate of heaven. Let me tell you why I should be allowed into heaven. Here's my resume. See all the good things I did in your name? Besides that, I got letters of reference. My mama says I'm good, and here's her letter of reference. And I have some other people who thought I was an all right person. Here's my letters of reference. And God said, wow, you're so well qualified to be in heaven. Come on in. I just can't believe it. We're looking for good people like you to populate heaven. Is that what he said? What did he say? Thank you, my daughter. Jesus said, depart from me, for I never knew you. No, you can't fake a relationship with somebody. You can pretend like you're their friend. You can do things like that. But the person on the other end knows. You know, God knows whether you have a relationship with them or not. I believe this too. I believe you know if you have a relationship with them or whether you don't have a relationship with them. I believe you know if you just come to church because you're supposed to or you come to church because you have a relationship with God. I believe you know that when you pray, you're praying to a God that you love and that you trust loves you, or you're just talking in the air, hope it gets out there somewhere to somebody, talking to the ceiling. I've told y'all before about me. I was so hung up in my life the way it was that when I played football, I prayed to whatever I thought was out there. I just threw prayers out. I prayed to hell and Satan. I prayed to angels and demons. I prayed to God in heaven. I prayed to everybody trying to get my way. Because I didn't care about any of those spiritual things. I just wanted my way. I want my way. Whoever was going to give it, that's fine. But that's no relationship with God. Y'all, we met a man named Mark, a homeless man in Fort Worth, Texas. He was upset at God. He said, I ask things of God all the time. I ask Him to give me money. I ask Him to get me out of this situation. I ask Him to protect me. I ask Him to do this. I ask Him to do that. But I'm still homeless, and I still don't have things, and I'm still upset. I said, Mark, what if some dude you didn't know, and this is a home, Mark was homeless in Fort Worth, Texas, but Mark had beer, Mark had smokes, Mark had food, and Mark had a place to lay his stuff. So what if some dude you didn't know came up to you every day and said, let me have a beer, let me have some smoke, let me have some food, let me lay my sleeping bag down here. I said, what would you say to him? I mean, on your good day, maybe you'll pass out some. But what if he came back every day? Mark said he used to ask God every day. I said, eventually you're going to tell that mooch he needs to move on, because you don't even know his name, and he needs to get out, mooch. Ain't, mooches don't go to heaven. Y'all know what a mooch is, right? I'll tell you real quick. When I used to smoke, then I tried to quit smoking, you know? And you know what I did? I first quit smoking my cigarettes, but kept smoking other people's. So that's a mooch. It's the one. Can I hold a dollar? No, you're a mooch. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you spiritually, mooches ain't going to go to heaven. You're going to have to trust Jesus. You're going to have a relationship with Him. Not simply a gimme, 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 gimme. That's not a relationship. You can't come to the God Almighty and just say, gimme, 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 gimme. You need to know Him. Eternal life is this, that they know you. And God knows you in the sense that you are created by Him. Right now, regardless of what you believe, this is how gracious our God is. The sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. Atheists are right now being sustained in their very life, which they know is not in their hands. They are being sustained by the loving God that they are hostile toward. Right now, they're ungrateful. They may hate Him, but He knows right where they are, and He keeps you alive, because the Bible says He's not wanting that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The return of Christ is it ain't on hold in a sense like we're all on hold, but I can tell you why it hasn't already happened, because there's more people who need to be saved. Being saved, having eternal life, is having a relationship with God. It's not about coming to church or reading every day or all those things. It's about actually knowing God. We ought to think of a relationship with God more in the lines we think of a relationship with our loved ones. You know, we sing songs. When people fall in love, they'll say some outrageous stuff, man. Write some outrageous poems and do things, you know. I think about that song, I'm Gonna Love You Forever. I'm gonna love you forever, forever and ever, amen. As long as old men sit and talk about the weather, as long as old women sit and talk about old men. Y'all remember that song? It may not sound, it might have sounded different. Hey, I'm surprised that. Hey, as soon as I start singing, we had a unison groan over here. Oh, I hope that's on tape. Anyways, here's the point. We talk about loving people forever. You can't love somebody forever except for God. Ain't nobody can love you forever except for God. You want to be in a forever love? Come to know God. That's what's so awesome. You come into a relationship with God, and the quality of that relationship is such that for Him to know you and you to know Him, you last forever as His friend. It's the quality of God that comes across that relational line of faith that gives us eternal life, that we might know Him. There ain't going to be nobody in heaven that doesn't know the Lord. Only way you can have eternal life is by knowing Him. God only has children. He don't have any grandchildren. I want you to think about that.
There's a lot of people who say, well, my mom or my daddy, they have faith, and well, you know, I'm kind of like that. Well, you kind of maybe ought to be sure that you have faith in God. You know, one of the most frustrating things I've watched parents go through, and I'm sure that Sarah and I will have this experience, unfortunately, someday, is to have your children in a situation that you can't help them, where you're helpless to help them. So I watched two of my good friends see their son struggle and eventually succumb and pass away just, you know, not even 2 weeks ago. But for a couple months, I watched them move in love and concern, but they realized there wasn't anything they could do to help them. Can I tell you something about your kids and your family? There's nothing you can do to make it. Your faith doesn't give them faith. Everybody's going to have to put their faith individually in Christ. You need to ask if you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. You need to ask if you have a relationship with Christ. Doesn't matter if your uncle was a Baptist preacher. I can't believe how popular an excuse that is about, you know, we're talking about eternal life. Eternal life is having a relationship with God. And some people say, well, my uncle was a Baptist preacher. Like, which means you probably all the more need to figure out how to have a relationship with God. You know what I'm saying? Don't rest on that mess. Come to God directly. Call on Him directly. Having a relationship with God means you have a forever love and a forever friend. And it don't ever end. And to be fully expressed, for the love of God to be fully expressed to those He has a relationship with, it demands that they live forever. That's the mechanics of it. It's a relationship that is so full that it can't be expressed in the lifetime, the short span of years that we live. It has to be expressed over an eternal span because God is of that quality. And when you become attached to Him in a relationship, you have eternal life. Whew. And He wants us to have a relationship with Him. Let's look at who God is. Two qualities of God in this passage that I want us to look at. Not, we want to have a relationship with Him, but let's look at who He is. And let this sting. If you're one of those folks who is all gods are good gods, and there's a lot of ways, you know, a lot of paths to God and all these things, I hope this bites a little bit. But not, don't take it from me. Remember who's the truth teller. Jesus is the truth teller. And this is how He described God. First, He said this: the only true God. Eternal life is to know You, the only, meaning there's no other. You don't got to wrestle me. Don't send me ugly words. Don't call me a religious bigot or whatever you might think. This is what Jesus said. Now you're going to have to argue with Jesus. And again, I don't have to defend Him. You go ahead and think you know about God more than Jesus. But Jesus says there's only one. There's only one God. Not many gods. Not a bunch of options. Not that, like, who else is out there? Hey, I don't like this system. Can I get a hand? Somebody else. There ain't nobody else. Only God. And He's a true God. He's truly God. You know, I can tell y'all, when I used to pray to everything under, you know, whatever spiritual power and principality, whatever it was I was trying to talk to, they didn't do nothing. My life didn't change. I remained a selfish, childish person who would leverage anything or anybody to get my own way. But when I called on God in the name of Jesus Christ, I was born again. Might say, do you struggle with selfishness? Of course. I still have some struggles, but I was changed. I was made new. When I called upon the Lord, I was saved. See, there's a whole lot of things you can do and call on and act upon and all those things, but they don't change you and you know it. But when God changes you, you know that too. The only true God can make a difference in your life. All those other ways, all those other ideas, all those other systems, whatever they are, we know this. They can't be God because Jesus said there's only one true God.
That's it. There's a lot of little g gods. The god of this world. The god of the air. The prince and the power of the air. The gods of the multiverse of gods and idols and different religions. The pantheon of gods. Some things will say, well, God is in everything, and so therefore everything is God. That's fine. You can believe what you like. But eternal life is that they might come to know you, the one true God. You can believe whatever you like and makes you feel comfortable. Just don't be fooled that that leads to eternal life. The only thing that leads to eternal life is a relationship with the one true God. There is no other. How many gods made this place? I go back to the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And then God said, let there be light. And pow, there was light. That's the God we're talking about. The one true God. Creator God. Sustainer God. The God who from His throne one day will say, it's finished, and it will be finished. We're talking about that one. He made it, and He's going to take it out one day too. He is the one and only God. All these others are not. So that's the first quality. He's the one true God. Let me tell you another quality about God that's maybe not popular, maybe is controversial to some. But God has a Son, and He sent His Son, and the name of His Son is Jesus the Christ. A lot of folks like to think, well, we could talk about God. Let's keep it general. Let's talk about God, but let's not talk about Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're not talking about Jesus, you're not talking about the one true God anyway. You're making up stuff. The one true God sent His Son. This is how He started His prayer in chapter 17. Verse 1, He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may also glorify You. He is the Son of God. And He was sent by God. You know why He was sent by God? Because God loves you, and God loves me. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You know who the one true God is? The Father of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one true Son of God who has come from the Father to save us. That's who He is. The two qualities of God. If you want to know, I want to have a relationship with God. How do I know I'm not being duped? Then you realize we're talking about the one true God and that He sent Jesus Christ. There's a whole religion based on the fact that they say God, in their own language, does not beget sons. Well, I'm sorry, they're arguing with Jesus. And when you argue with Jesus, you lose, because Jesus is the truth teller and He is the Son of God. And the true God has sent Jesus Christ. That's what it says. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. His name. Just in His name. You know, we've come so far away, we don't know a lot of times what our names mean and what our names are for and all those things. But you ought to study what Jesus' name means. Let's look at these two words, Jesus and Christ. The word Jesus is partially defined for us in the book of Matthew in chapter 1, I think in verse 21. It says, you're going to call, the angel speaking to Joseph says, you're going to call His name Jesus because He will save His people from their sin. You know, Jesus' names means the Lord saves. The Lord is salvation. The Lord saves. That's what Jesus' name means. I love it because when we, that Thursday night church, Jesus saves, bro, it's almost just a redundancy on His name. Jesus, if you said Jesus' name out, the Lord saves. Saves, bro. That's what it would be if you got to put that out there. I like it. You know, but Jesus saves. That's what His name means. That's what He does. He's the one and only begotten Son of God. Can I tell you? This is what it says in the beginning of the Gospel of John, the beginning of the book that we're reading now. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, full of faith, of grace rather, and truth. That's who Jesus is. He's our Savior. He's the Lord. He's God with us, Emmanuel. That's who He is. If you have an idea about God, and it doesn't involve Jesus, I just want you to know it's your idea. And it's not the one and only God. It's your God, small g. The great God, the only God, the true God. He has a Son named Jesus Christ, who is God with us. Not delegated to somebody else. It's God with us. It's who He is. Let me tell you about that word Christ. You know, it's not a cuss word, and it's not Jesus' last name. He didn't come from the family of Christs. It's a title. We sang about it. It's so awesome. I love when God puts our songs together. So I don't ever talk to Keith or anybody in the band about, or very, very, extremely rarely will I ever say something about a song or this or that. Because I know God works through them. I know they seek out God. And they sang a song up there, and we sang it with them. Jesus Messiah. That's the same thing as Jesus Christ. It's just a different language. Christ is the Greek word. Messiah is the Hebrew word. And it's the same thing. It means the anointed one, the prophesied one, the exceptional one, the long-awaited one, the hero of the day, the one and only. Jesus, the one and only. I love that. That's what Christ means. It's a title. They wondered. So maybe you still wonder, is Jesus really the one? I hope you're listening and praying. Ask Him to show you. Here's our message. This is our proclamation. Jesus is the one, the only one, the truth, the way, the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. He's the one. Y'all, what a great time for us to evaluate who we are in Christ, what it means to have faith in Christ. I want you to hear this real quick. At the very end, close to the end of the Gospel of John, John uses the name of Jesus and the title of Christ in chapter 20 and verse 31 real specifically. I want to issue this invitation to all of us. He's speaking about why the Gospel of John was written in the first place. And he says, "These things were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." Oh, when we think about it, that the one true God who sent Jesus Christ, His Son, what was the purpose? That we might believe that He is the one, and that when we believe that, we have life in His name. Want to be saved? Maybe you need to be saved today. This book that I've been preaching from, that I'm going to keep preaching from, tells us how to be saved. It says, believe. That if you believe in Jesus, that He is the Christ, the chosen one, the anointed one, the exceptional one, the only one. If you believe in Him, the Son of God, you can be saved. The Bible says over in Romans chapter 10, we like to read it, I like to say it at every service, because people need to know how to be saved, especially now. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, we believe unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Over there in the 12th verse, it says, for the same God, for there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, Jew or Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me tell you, I'm going to read that verse one more time in verse 12, and I'm not that I'm adding to the Scripture, but I just want to give you some idea. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For there is no distinction between black and white. There is no distinction between any ethnicity. There is no distinction between any gender, male or female. There's no age distinction between young or old. There's no economic condition or distinction between rich and poor. There's no There's no distinction between the sick and the well. The same God is the God over all, and He's rich in mercy towards all, and He'll save everyone who calls on His name. So whoever you are, wherever you are, if you need to be saved, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's what the Bible says. That ain't the great word of the preacher. That's the great word of the Christ, the one, the only, the chosen one. That's what He says. So right now I challenge you, it's a good challenge, to evaluate where you are, not with religion, not about just going about things, but where are you in your relationship with God? Where are you in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe it's your time to confess Him as your Lord and Savior. If you know Him, maybe it's your time to share this message. My heart, as cool as it is being on Facebook, is reminded that there are probably more people that we know who don't have it than have it. In our communities, we'd like to think everybody has Facebook. We like to think everybody's on the internet. Everybody's online. It's just not true. It's not true. So when you hear a message and you're challenged and you know the Lord, would you carry this message on to them? You don't got to show them this video. Just tell them. You know what it says in the Bible? Eternal life is knowing God, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom He sent. And you can believe on Him and be saved. That ain't half bad right there. But if you don't know Him, I challenge you, I invite you, He invites you to know Him, give your life to Him, and be saved. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for how You love us. And during this time, I pray that You would do Your work in such a way that whoever needs to be saved will be saved. Father, we know that You're merciful, that You're long-suffering, You're patient. But You are calling. And whatever we might think this time that we're going through with COVID-19, we're praying, Lord, that You would gather in. Gather people in before the door shuts, before the time runs out, before the whole thing does come to an end. I pray that people would come to believe and get saved and that they would tell somebody they got saved. Lord, we love You. Use us up. Empower us to be Your witnesses. We live in a time where Christianity seems to have very little, well, our witness has changed, Lord. Use it as such as it is. And give us boldness to be Your witnesses always. We love You, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time to respond. Respond while they're singing this song.
The Father's arms are open. 7283. Somebody can come pick you up. But that's the four ways we have of
promise to share that confident faith that you live that makes all the difference in the world, and it's really good news. Father, we love you.